Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and our guest today is Kate Hama, who's coach, consultant, and leader, and formerly with True Dogs. Kate, welcome to Around Town, and we're here to have you tell us your story.
Thanks, Ron. It's great to be back.
Okay, so what's going on, Kate?
Well, True Blue Dogs was created as a nonprofit that gifted service dogs for those dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Sadly, our founder, our trainer, Kirk Halma, my husband, passed away from colon cancer about 3 years ago. We attempted to find someone to hand the reins over to, and yet that's when we truly discovered how unique Kirk's gift was, because we couldn't find anybody. There are plenty of people who train dogs. There are a number of organizations that provide service dogs, but not the way that Kirk did. And so, not meeting his legacy, the board decided last fall to dissolve the nonprofit.
Okay.
And yet, through the years, we have truly learned the significance of educating people, raising awareness on the rights and responsibilities of not just service dogs, but what is known as assistance dogs. And that includes four different levels, from emotional support, which a lot of people are aware of if they travel. Let's say they see someone on an airplane with a dog. And then there's therapy dogs. I have one, Zeke, my German Shepherd. He and I work with the probation division at the McHenry County Courthouse. And therapy dogs are most associated with hospitals. They'll go in and visit folks when they're sick and they're not doing well. Above that is referred to as a facility dog. That's a therapy dog, but it's trained more specific to the needs of that facility, be it a school or, again, a hospital, for example. When Kirk was alive and worked with our previous German Shepherd, Chance, they worked with patients in rehab, in physical therapy, occupational therapy. And the patient working through their rehab, it was like they were playing with the dog, but they were working on fine motor skills, balance, all kinds of things. So facility dog, again, provides service specific to the facility. And then at the top of that list of assistance dogs is the service dogs. And we've talked about it with your listeners before, how a service dog is specific to a person. That dog provides a task, does a task, a job the person in need cannot do on their own. And the difference with the service dog from any other assistance dog is that they are legally allowed to enter any location, any place that humans are allowed to, provided that they do behave.
So now when you talk about the different levels for these dogs, the four different levels, how do you choose the appropriate breed? I know that some service dogs are border collies. Border collies seem to be a good service dog. They're very smart, very intelligent. So how do you pick that dog? I mean, is it narrowed down to certain breeds, Kate?
You know, that's a great question, Ron. And there are dogs whose natural characteristics lend themselves towards service. More often than not, we at True Blue Dogs worked with Labrador Retrievers. However, we have provided service dogs with larger breeds, service dogs, a Havanese is a little dog. There are larger dogs. Most people that listen would probably know if I refer to a Newfoundland. A dog that large may need to assist should a person have a physical challenge that could lead to a fall. A larger breed like that can stop a fall and prohibit someone from getting hurt, hitting their head. Somebody gets a head injury, God forbid, they could die. So depending on the task that needs to be done, smaller dogs, for example, may be carried around in a pouch and you'll see them near the mouth of the person. That could be because they're sensing the breath. That could be a diabetic alert dog. Diabetic alert dogs, though, can be various sizes because our bodies give off a scent due to the chemical makeup of our bodies.
You
so
know, that's interesting because my son has a service dog and he's diabetic.
Yes.
And when the dog was in training, they trained the dog from the time it was a puppy for I believe it was 2 years. And he would send his undershirt, his T-shirt.
Yes.
You know, to the trainer. You know, it was like, I think, twice a month. And that was used for the scent with the dog. And that dog, if he had an insulin reaction or low blood sugar or whatever it may be, the dog knew right away and would paw at him, even during the night. It's just amazing how they would learn and sense all this.
Right. It's funny because I referenced there are breed characteristics, and then there's just a natural instinct dog to dog. And a professional trainer sees that quality in a dog, an interest or a behavior. The dog I'm working with now in therapy, Zeke, he was relinquished to us, to my husband, who had been training him with his previous owners. And at about 5.5 months old, it was obvious they weren't doing what needed to be done for a German Shepherd. That's a serious, intelligent breed. You don't give them something to do, they're going to find something to do.
Right.
And you want to make sure it's good work.
Okay.
So they gave up their dog to Kirk, and Kirk said, I'll work with him. Kirk had trained over 1,200 dogs himself, not
wow.
with other partners, but he himself in the 10, 12 years he worked. And he said Zeke was the kindest dog he ever met. And that's what led to us doing therapy work. I have taken him to kids camps in the summer. He's really great with kids. He loves kids. He's gentle. He's very good with our senior population. I've gone to senior community homes and visited, and he's really good with them. And yet there's a sensibility about a person who's, let's say, in the memory care division of a senior community. And they're probably not certain of their own being, their own surrounding. And Zeke senses that. And sometimes he's a little uneasy about that. With the probation clients that we work with, there are some sessions we go into and the dog is fine. There are other days it appears the people in the session are a little more anxious. And I see that in Zeke. He senses it. Dogs are so tuned into us, much more than we give them credit for. If folks listening have their own pet, they probably understand what I'm talking about. Your dog will know when you're having a bad day. Your dog knows when you're getting ready to go on vacation or you're getting ready to leave the house and they get excited. They hope they're going to join you. And their sense of smell, which gives away our emotions and our well-being overall, dog's sense of smell is 12,000 times stronger, greater than a human.
Wow.
Yes.
How old is Zeke right now, Kate?
Zeke is, let me see, he's 5. He'll be 6 in May.
Can you share with our listeners a story about the dog, the military dogs, and what they do and some of the things that they performed? I think it's going to be interesting for everyone to hear that.
Yes, I was telling your team before we went on the air that I have 3 dogs. Zeke is my German Shepherd. I have a Fox Red Lab, and that's a Labrador Retriever, just a red color Rowan. He was to be a service dog, but didn't make the cut. And then there's my Belgian Malinois, Yvonne. She was Kirk's pet, and Malinois are most common with our military, with police and emergency services. They're intense, they're very driven, they're very intelligent, they're loyal. You may see pictures of military personnel jumping out of airplanes on their assignments with a dog strapped to them. 9 times out of 10, that's a Belgian Malinois. It's a Belgian Shepherd, which there are 5 different looks in a Belgian Shepherd, but the Malinois is the smallest, and they're crazy. Crazy good when they're okay. On your side. They have little fear, and they're just very driven to serve their person.
Wow, that's amazing. So where does True Blue Dogs go now? I mean, with all the changes and everything.
Yes, thank you for asking that. True Blue Dogs will continue now as a community group, not a 501c3 nonprofit, but will continue to volunteer to raise awareness so that people understand the rights and responsibilities, because there are some folks who will fake it with a service dog. They just want to bring little Fluffy into the restaurant because it's a warm day and they don't want to leave her in the car.
Okay.
That doesn't do right to those who need the dog to exist with day-to-day activities, things you and I will do and take for granted. And, you know, even if a dog is a service dog, however, it's not behaving, a business owner has the right to ask the handler, the person with the dog, to leave.
I want to pause for a minute to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station, and we're talking with Kate Hama, True Blue Dogs. Kate, service dogs generally have a jacket that they wear.
Mm-hmm.
That designates them service dogs.
But they don't always have to. A lot of folks will put a vest or a jacket on a service dog to identify them. So, because people do take their dogs with them lots of places. So, it's a good way to identify them. But again, they don't have to have a vest. They don't even have to have a leash. For example, the person in need might not be able to handle a leash, or they might need the dog to do something that requires them, the handler, to have both their arms free, their hands free. People can buy vests and or fake IDs online, and they do, and they present it claiming their dog is service. And you'll know a true service dog because more often than not, the handler is happy to educate, happy to inform people that the service dog is there. And legally, you never ask a person what need they have. Legally, the proper question for a business owner or a person engaging with someone in public is this a service dog? And if the answer is yes, then legally you can ask, what task does it serve? Neither of those questions are about the person, but rather the dog.
Well, the experience that I've had with the service dog is that with my sons, is that when he wears his jacket, we usually tell the restaurant ahead of time, we're mm-hmm. coming with a service dog. And they say, okay, fine. And they'll put you in an area where it would accommodate a service dog.
Yes.
But when you're in that restaurant, that dog will lie down, is very quiet. You don't know the dog is even there. They don't bother anybody. They're not disturbed by anything. They are totally quiet. And you know it's a true service dog because even a lot of times the waiter or waitress will come by and say, gee, we didn't realize there was a dog here. Sometimes they'll even bring a bowl of water thinking it'll help the dog,
yes.
trying to be nice. But they're amazed at how quiet the dog is and doesn't do a thing.
No. Kirk used to tell a story about he was at his PTSD training to become a trainer for service dogs and went out with classmates and instructors, and they were at a nice restaurant, really long table, and they got up to leave, and six dogs came out from under the table, and the people around them were shocked, had no idea that the dogs were there. Because his group had been sitting for so long, the other tables arrived afterwards and never, to your point, heard from these dogs. And some of them were larger, shepherds and labs. And that's what they're supposed to do. That's a quality service dog. That's what they're trained to do. They're not there for us. They're there to serve their person. And
right.
if they're distracted, they may miss something that's happening that needs to be tended to for the well-being of their person.
So you're going to keep your three dogs.
Yes.
Even though True Blue is not in business anymore.
Would you give away your kids?
Well, it depends, I guess.
<That's>
right?
True. Oh, there's days. Yes, there's days with mine. No,
right.
I'm keeping
yeah,
all three.
Yeah, there's days you might say, oh, okay, you know, get out of here, right?
Yes, yes.
But so your time now is primarily spent with trying to help others, working with others?
Yes. Yes, we volunteer every place we get the opportunity to, or perhaps a small stipend to help me feed those three beasts because I go through about 11 cups of food a day. That's just kibble. And, owning dogs and keeping them healthy and happy, it takes a good amount of money. But like I said, they're my furry kids. I owe a lot to them. After losing Kirk, they really helped me get through some tough days. I know that Rowan, even though he doesn't serve as a true service dog, he believes he's my service dog, and that's all that matters to me.
So you have one dog's 4 years old.
Yes.
And how old are the other two?
Well, Zeke is six, will be six in May, and Yvonne will be seven in June. So I have a lot of years ahead of me with these three beasts, 4, 6, and 7.
Now, with the shepherds, don't they have problems when they get to 9, 10 with hip dysplasia?
You know, it depends on their lineage. Not all shepherds have hip dysplasia, and other breeds do as well. I have worked with Shawana Shepherds here in McHenry County for years. Zeke is our third, and none of them had that. My last shepherd, Chance, who Kirk created his dog training business with, the one who worked at the hospital, he was 12 and a half.
Oh, wow.
And yes, he lived a good long life, and he worked. He got 800 hours volunteer hours at the hospital. He was recognized for that, I should say.
So all this work you put in all these years and this hard work that you and Kurt put in, so what's next for you?
What's next for me? That's a great question. I am currently looking for full-time employment. I am coaching, consulting, as you referenced earlier, and yet the dogs keep me active. They keep me engaged with our community. Servant leadership has always been of importance to me, and any way that I can give back, especially educating on the awareness of how dogs benefit people and how people should care properly for their dogs, that drives me every day.
So if people have those questions and want to get more information, you know, where do they go? They call you? Do you have
sure.
a website? Or how do they go about that?
True Blue Dogs is on Facebook and LinkedIn. And again, we are now a community organization, but you can absolutely connect with me through either of those sources.
So if someone does contact you, is there a fee they pay, or how does that work?
It depends. Like I said, with the county, we get a small fee for the time we spend there. It just helps in taking care of the dogs. But I've gone to kids' camps and senior homes as a volunteer. So it depends on the need.
Okay. The kids' camps, that's kind of, how do they gravitate with the dogs? I see this big German Shepherd. I mean, is there a fear factor? They're worried about it? I mean, are they hesitant? Or what takes place?
You know, one would think so, because Zeke is a big boy, and he's mostly black. But I think with children, there's just an honesty. There's, what's the word I'm looking for? Just a simplicity in them knowing when there's a kind animal.
They're trusting.
And there's a trust. And the thing, too, though, we do take the opportunity with children to let them know to always ask permission to approach a dog. Because even if a dog looks friendly, is with a person, you never know.
Right.
And that can happen a lot when a family's out and they see me with a big black German Shepherd, and maybe they have a dog, so their child thinks of their happy dog at home, and they come running towards, usually I look right at the parents and say, it's okay. And then take the opportunity to educate the child to always ask first. Kirk even visited a preschool, and there were little four-year-olds. And he wasn't sure what he really could teach them about service dogs. But he took the opportunity to teach them that one safety lesson. Never approach a dog that you don't know without asking permission. And for weeks later, it was during the summer at the Woodstock Farmers Market, we would see little people out in town, and they would ask permission to approach Chance. They remembered him. They would say his name, but then they stopped and asked permission. And that's a great thing. Anyone could teach their children that.
So he was there. He probably would be sitting down or lying down.
Yes.
And he was probably loving all the petting, correct?
Oh, yes. Shepherds love children. I grew up in Chicago on the South Side, had a backyard with a fence, grew up with a German Shepherd, and pretty much Heidi was our babysitter, so to speak. We four kids would be out in the backyard. That Shepherd was with us, and our folks knew nobody would bother us with that Shepherd near us.
Wow. That's kind of scary in a way. It's like, holy mackerel, look out, there's a Shepherd in that backyard.
It was good. It was funny, too. I grew up, after I moved, to Woodstock, there was a family next door. You mentioned a border collie. There were five kids, and the mom did homeschooling. So the kids got to be out back more often than usual. That dog herded them, the herding dog, and
right.
Those kids didn't even realize it. That yard did not have a fence, and that dog made sure that those kids stayed in the backyard and did what they were supposed to. Those kids had no clue. And now there's a natural instinct of a dog, like I referenced earlier.
Right. You know, the border collies, I mean, the ranchers use them quite a bit because they hurt the cattle.
Yes.
And the sheep and whatever. And that's their nature. They'll hurt. If it's people, they'll hurt people.
Yes. And you'll see shepherds do that too. Some folks who have pets may have a shepherd or a border collie that herds their toys. For example, they'll gather all their toys in one place. I've seen dogs do that are, you know, gatherers or herders.
So the dogs you have right now, how did you zero in and pick that breed?
Well, Shepherds, Kirk and I both grew up with Shepherds, and they're just so intelligent, and they love to please, and they love to work. And so we always lean towards that breed. In fact, we had a Shepherd. My dog, Chance, was a puppy when Kirk, his business, it closed, and he decided to be a dog trainer, always wanted to be. And he got special permission to take my puppy to the dog training school in Ohio for 2 months because everyone needed to show up with an untrained dog.
Okay.
So Chance was 4.5 months old. Kirk got permission to bring a dog younger than 6 months. And Chance was always first or second in that class in what they did. It's just an intelligent breed. And Kirk used to believe that poodles were the most intelligent breed. And I'm sure there are trainers, dog breeders that may argue that. But because we live out in the country and the dogs could get into weeds and whatnot, we never had a poodle because it would have been too hard with the upkeep of its coat.
Sure.
And that's what people need to consider. What are the natural instincts of that, the characteristics of that breed, and the care? If you're not going to brush your dog at least every other day, there are certain breeds you shouldn't get. I almost have competition between my German Shepherd, my Belgian Malinois, and my Lab with brushing to see who loses the most. And believe it or not, my Lab causes the most fur mess in my house. And it's misleading because they have shorter hair.
Right.
Labs are very popular with families. They're very easygoing dogs for the most part.
Nice personalities.
They can be very protective. Yeah. Yes. Huskies, Malamutes, those are wanderers. If you don't have a fence or you're not going to walk your dog, people shouldn't get that breed. They are natural wanderers. So people should investigate. The AKC has an online quiz where you answer questions just about your lifestyle. Do you have an apartment? Do you have a lot of land? Do you want to walk your dog? Do you want to run with your dog? All these questions about your lifestyle, and they'll recommend breeds that meet your need. The reason we got Zeke is that family did not put the time into that breed. So to us, it was a gain. Thank goodness they were honest with Kirk as a trainer, and Kirk saw that they weren't doing the work. Dogs take time.
You want to remind the people where to go for that website again if they have those questions, Kate?
Sure, the AKC. I'm sorry, the American Kennel Club. AKC, okay. American Kennel Club, has an online quiz. Probably if you just Google dog breed quiz, you'll find something like that to help you and your family decide what dog to get. And that doesn't mean you have to go to a breeder. You can go to a shelter. Shelters are great. And tell them the kind of dog you want. And good shelters will know the personalities of the dogs in their place and help you find the right dog. Because the worst thing you could do is rescue a dog and then have to return it. That has happened in our experience as well.
So, again, if people want to contact you, how do they go about doing that?
Sure. Go to Facebook, and you can find me through True Blue Dogs, proper spelling of all those words, or LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, we have a group page, True Blue Dogs, and I am the administrator of the contact for both those pages.
So I'm sure people who either have dogs or want to get a dog are looking for information, or perhaps they want to ask if your dog can visit one, a sick child or whatever, something like that?
Yes. A lot of times it depends on the facility, the location. Individual business owners or organizations, they can determine who comes in, how, and when. If you work with a qualified, certified instructor, a dog trainer, that is, then they can help you determine the right kind of dog. And also, I mentioned this moments ago, you go to a good, reputable shelter. They often have trained staff, and a lot of times they work with local dog trainers to help you find the right dog for you.
Kate, you want to give the folks your email address, too, just in case they want to write to you?
Sure. It's real easy. motivatewithkate@gmail.com.
Let's do that one more time for the folks.
Motivate. The word motivate with Kate is spelled K-A-T-E.
All one word.
All one word. motivatewithkate@gmail.com.
You've been listening to Kate Halma, the coach, consultant, leader from True Blue Dogs. We want to thank her for being here today and telling us all about her three young children at home.
Furry kids.
Right, furry kids. And all the work that they're doing and the good work they're doing for people to help others that are out there. So we want to thank for being here today. And you've been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio station. Go to huntleycommunityradio.com. Contact us for more information and go to Around Town. We're happy that you listened to us today, folks, and have a great day. And thank you, Kate, for being here.
My pleasure.
Take care, everybody.
You.
Bye-bye.